follow Jesus. Sun of righteousness, shine on my path,
show
me the way to the Father.
If there is
no darkness at all,
the night and the day are
all the light,
the
is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm looking for the coming of Christ. I want to be with Jesus. When we have run with patience the race,
we shall
know the joy of Jesus. Continue with the greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, our strength and our Redeemer, by your Spirit hold us forever, that through your grace we may worship you and faithfully serve you, follow you, and joyfully find you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." Now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring back Jacob to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rules. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 40 responsively. I waited patiently upon the Lord, who stooped to me and heard my cry.
The Lord lifted me out of a desolate pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a high cliff, making my footing sure.
The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our Lord. Many shall see and stand in awe and put their trust in the Lord. Great are the wonders you have done, O Lord, my God. In your plans for us, none can be compared with you. Oh, that I could make them known and tell them, but they are more than I can count. And so I said, here I am, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I love to do your will. I proclaimed righteousness in the great assembly. I have not restrained my lips, O Lord, you know. You are the Lord. Do not withhold your compassion from me. May your steadfast love and your truth continually keep me safe. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle in Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called on the day of our Lord into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
Lord,
to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is said of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, look, here is the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, what are you looking for? And they said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. So last week I talked to you about the Bible, and I talked to you about John the Baptist. And in both, I kind of looked at the dark side of both of those areas. And I wanted to kind of present the most positive side of both the Bible and John the Baptist, so that you can understand that there is this interesting gray area when it comes to both of those issues. And it reminded me a lot of Martin Luther, who said that if you don't fall off one side of the horse, you're going to fall off the other. And so, of course, the key is, how do you stay on the horse? And you have to somehow have a middle course, something where you know both sides and counterbalance each of the others. So last week I talked to you about how the Word of God is not the Bible. The Word of God is Jesus. And that's clearly from John 1. John says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." The Word is Jesus himself, not the Bible. And you can have a great deal of problems when people think that every single word in the Bible is the Word of God, because there's a lot of things in the Bible we just can't agree with because Jesus wouldn't agree with it. Okay, and so we look through Jesus always. We always look through this lens, I call, of Jesus, and then through that lens we can see the things of the Bible that are most a building to that understanding, and also things that are detracting to that. And Jesus himself would have said the very same things. But at the same time, the counterbalance to that is, where else are you going to learn about Jesus other than the Bible? So the Bible becomes extremely important for us to learn about Jesus. But it doesn't mean all the books in the Bible have the same value. That's why the Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which speak of Jesus' life, and they give an accounting of that life, are more important than any other book in the Bible. That's why we sing the Gospel acclamation and you stand. And I read the gospel lesson for today. It's not because I'm a preacher and I need something to stroke my ego. It's not me you're standing for. You're standing for Jesus. You're standing for Jesus because Jesus is the one who is presenting the Word of God in the most powerful way. Now, therefore, it does not also mean that the other parts of the Bible aren't important to what Jesus has to say. So we have an Old Testament lesson. We have a lesson from the New Testament, and then we have a gospel lesson. Now, those lessons are picked to support what Jesus had to say. And it's not hard to do that. But at the same time, there are things in the Bible that don't necessarily support what Jesus has to say. And so you have to make those distinctions again and again. And that's why Bible study is so important. I know that a whole group of you that study the Bible regularly, and there's no way of knowing the things of the Bible that are in keeping with Jesus unless you study those things. And you understand the Bible more as a record of history, and more of a conflicting different things of opinions that are going on all the time. And so then you bring it all together, and it all culminates into the gospel, which is Jesus. And then we can understand, and then there's this support that we find through Scripture throughout. So that's the Bible. Then John the Baptist. Last week I told you that John the Baptist was judgmental and condemning. That when he had Pharisees and Sadducees come to him, he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to repent?" And he talks about how the axe is laid to the root of the tree and cut down and thrown into the fire if you don't do the right things. That is judging and condemning. But at the same time, there is not a greater, most positive witness to Jesus than John the Baptist. So he's got this other side to him that is equally important and wonderful and fantastic. John the Baptist knew that distinction within his own life. He said, "I baptize with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John himself recognized that big break between what he stands for and what Jesus stands for. He just didn't know what it was. And that's what we find in our lesson for today. So here brings us to our second part of the first chapter of John. And we learn more about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the actual baptism is not found in John's gospel. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But the referring to the baptism is now found in John's gospel, which is our lesson for today. John sees Jesus sometime after the baptism. And he sees Jesus walking and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then he kind of gives a little sermon on it. And he says, "I myself did not know him." And he says that twice. I mean, again, that's one of the greatest things about John the Baptist, is he realizes his own inadequacies. So he says, "I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water wants me to proclaim him to all of Israel." Beautiful statement of what John's all about and his role in lifting up Jesus, even though he doesn't know him. Then he repeats it. "I myself did not know him, but I saw the Spirit descend upon him as a dove and remain." So that's a reference to the baptism that John doesn't report, but a secondhand reference or the day after reference or sometime later. "I saw the Spirit descend upon him and rest upon him. And the one who sent me said, 'The one to whom the Spirit descends and rests, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, for he is the Son of God.'" The first person in the whole world to recognize Jesus as Son of God, to recognize the role of the Holy Spirit in baptism, is John the Baptist. And so we have much to just praise and thank God for the role of John the Baptist in faith development in the world. And in fact, eventually, John's disciples leave him and go to Jesus, and I'm sure he encouraged that. So we have John making this proclamation of the gift of the Holy Spirit and his understanding his own inadequacies. It reminds me of an illustration I have, which is that, I don't know, you've got really good hand blowers, you know, in the bathroom. But they used to have these not so good ones. You know, there used to be these white boxes on the wall and they had this silver pushing thing. Well, once I saw this hand dryer on the wall and it had etched in the silver plate these directions. Number one, press the silver button. Number two, wipe your hands gently under the stream of air. And number three, wipe your hands on your pants. I said, "Now there's a hand dryer that knows its limitations." Just like John the Baptist. John the Baptist knew his limitations. He knew what it would take in order for that, for God's word to be expounded, and it wasn't going to come through him. It was going to come through the one who he's pointing to, through Jesus himself. So tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And I wanted to share you a story about Martin Luther King Jr. I was a young boy, not a young boy, I mean a young man actually, a teen, I think, when he died, was murdered. And the Sunday after that, the pastor of my church, who I love and respect very, very much, but he said something that had bothered me really severely. And he got up from the pulpit that next Sunday and he said that Martin Luther King Jr. proclaimed peace, but violence followed him wherever he went. And I was thinking of that. Oh, it bothered me what he was saying. He proclaimed peace, but violence followed him wherever he went. And then I realized, looking through the lens of Jesus, he could say the very same thing. Jesus proclaimed peace, but violence followed him wherever he went. You can't criticize someone because that is what you say about them. And so we need to always have this understanding that Jesus has something other to say than we're thinking. And he's going to help us to understand that. So the next part of the lesson comes where the two disciples hear on another day John say about Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God." And they come following Jesus. And Jesus turns around and says, "What are you looking for?" And they want to know where he's staying. And Jesus says to them, "Come and see." Now, one of them was Andrew, which is the middle name of Reed, who is baptized today. I think, what a wonderful thing that on the day that Reed is baptized, Reed Andrew Stewart, that we have a lesson about Andrew, who is the first disciple, according to John, that proclaims Jesus to be the Son of God. And then Andrew goes to Peter, and Jesus changes his name to Peter because it's Simon at that particular time. The role we have as Christians is to proclaim Christ. And we are given the Spirit of Jesus each and every time. We are baptized. We know that account. I don't think the Spirit of God is limited to baptism. But we can know the Spirit comes in baptism because it came to Jesus in baptism. So that's what we need to understand. That's the value of baptism. I think the Spirit of God has power to work apart from baptism. But at the same time, I do know that we can be assured of it working in baptism. And that's a very powerful, powerful message and affirmation of baptism in each one of our lives. I've had a problem with Debbie and I both have electric bikes. And we just got them because, she couldn't keep up with me when I went up the hills without electric. And when she had electric and I didn't have electric, I couldn't keep up with her. And so we both got electric. Well, the bike that I purchased came in the box damaged. So that the battery part, it slides in and out of the bike, and it didn't work. It didn't have a locking device in it. It actually worked, but it didn't lock in place. And then it was really difficult when we took it out to try to put it back in. So they're going to fix it. It's all good. But it was very frustrating that we couldn't get the battery in once we got it out. And I was actually about 4 miles away from my house when that took place because I was showing it to the bike shop who's going to put it all back together again. Well, I was just at a frazzle this last 24 hours because of this problem. Because I really wanted to go biking with Debbie this afternoon and go to this restaurant in La Mesa. But then this morning, I just had a revelation. It was cool. And I realized that the track that the battery goes on is broken. And because the track is broken, when you push the battery in, it actually rides over the track, and then it doesn't fit into the thing. And so if you put it down just to where it's broken and then lift it up a little bit, then you can push it in all the way. And then I started thinking about today about how that is really a good illustration of what baptism is meant to be. It's meant to power us with the Holy Spirit and to give us a track that leads us so that we can express that power of God in very positive ways to a lot of different people. When you share your faith, when you live a Christian life, it's not because you're so good or you're so talented or you have such wonderful words to share. It's because somehow the Spirit of God has decided to speak through you and do things through you, and accomplish His purposes through you. The track is complete. And when the track is complete, it goes into the power. And when the power is there, then you can live your life in faith and love, and it is marvelous the things that God can do through you. Amen.